And we had begun point number four, Elijah and the prophets, the prayer-answering champion of the showdown. And we got to point A, the emptiness of false religion. Number one, they called on Baal, but no one answered. We pick it up tonight with number two. They danced, but they were only burning calories. They danced, but they were only burning calories. Well, on that subject, let's pray, and then we'll begin. Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness, power, and might. Thank you for the testimonies tonight of how you're working. We can definitely see it. We watch it. We hear about it. We live it. Lord, may it be our confidence every day. This is a weakness of our lives and our hearts, that we get to the next day and we sort of draw back from your power and your might that we know is there. And so may we get victory over that. And tonight, as we look at Elijah, as we look at this spectacular showdown between the prophets of Baal and the one prophet of the Lord, we ask that you would help us to gain confidence in you, confidence in prayer, confidence in our lives, confidence to follow you. We ask, Lord, that you would maintain the thoughts from this morning, that indeed in our lives that we will love you supremely above all else. We ask that you'll do that for us. We ask you now to direct our steps tonight. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for this message. I trust and depend in you and not in myself to bring it. I ask you to speak to our hearts. Lord, build us, make us strong in faith, strong in confidence in our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18, let's look at verse number 26. As we consider number two, they danced, but they were only burning calories. Verse 26, 1 Kings 18. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. Picture this scene in your minds. The prophets of Baal jumping on this thing, dancing around it, hobbling around this altar, and nothing is happening. Absolutely nothing is happening. And Elijah begins to react to this with holy sarcasm. I like this guy. He sees what's happening. Nothing's going on. And he gets into it. And he's showing the absolute folly of following Baal. He mocks them mercilessly, as we look in verse number 27. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. Now, how would you like that? Somebody started talking to you about your God like that. Well, Elijah, he is just mocking them mercilessly. And he's exposing the uselessness of Baal worship, and that Yahweh is the one and only true and living God. Number three, they cut themselves and called deliriously, but there was no fire. They cut themselves and called deliriously, but there was no fire. Verses 28 and 29. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any answer nor any that regarded. Here is a really good glimpse of false religion. They're bringing to themselves bodily harm, cutting themselves with not just knives, but with a bigger cutting instrument, a lancet. It reminds us of what they tried to do in the Reformation days. Some of these monks and all of this would whip themselves, and Martin Luther would lay in the snow and plague himself trying to get a hold of God. And so these prophets of Baal are doing the same thing, only even worse. Cutting themselves, people will deprive themselves of things. And people today still try to perform religious activities, trying to merit God's approval, trying to get God's blessing. They want to do something to absolve their guilt. You know, we don't have to cut ourselves, do we? Jesus' blood has done everything that needs to be done. These Baal worshipers checked their brains at the door. True worship involves the mind, and it involves our hearts. False religion is empty of everything. Now we're going to see the power of God. And that's letter B, the power of the living God. Now we see Elijah. I want to emphasize what the Bible says and what we know to be true. Elijah was a man like us. He was a human being like us. He did not have some kind of special powers because he was the prophet of the Lord. But what he did have, he was a warrior of prayer. He was a warrior of prayer. And so we see Elijah, a man like us, and he's going to teach us about our prayer-answering God. So number one, we see Elijah's preparation. Elijah's preparation, verses 30 through 35. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water. Yeah, that's right, water. It's not water. It's water. Well, for some of us. Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. You might think to yourself, Elijah, you're not helping yourself here. You're really not helping yourself by drenching everything. How's all that going to go up in smoke? How's that going to burn? Well, he knew more than we do. The prophets of Baal had their turn, and now it's Elijah's turn. Now it's his turn. So what does he do? First, he takes the altar of the Lord that had been broken down years ago, and he rebuilds it. And he uses 12 stones for the 12 tribes of Israel. This broken down altar symbolized their spiritual condition. Their spiritual condition was one of being broken down. Israel's, the spiritual life of Israel was sick with all of this Baal worship. It symbolized their spiritual condition. So he builds it right. He builds it with 12 stones, and he's reminding them of their faith of the fathers. And Elijah is not proposing something brand new. He said, we're going to go back to square one. We're going to get back to our father, what our fathers believed. They believed right, and we're going back to that. I'm not bringing anything new to you, folks. This is the way it used to be, and it's the way it ought to be. It was a call to Israel to do two things, repent and return. That's the call to God's people today as well, to repent and return to their covenant God. Then he prepares the altar with the wood, and then he cuts up the bull and he puts that on the altar. Then he's going to blow their minds and he's going to pop their eyeballs out of their heads as he says, look, I want you to take four barrels, fill them with water, dump it all over the sacrifice and the altar. Do it again. Do it again. By now it's very, very wet. And then it says he filled the trench around it as well. We're talking about a very, very, like the rainstorm that we had the other day. Man, it was just soaked. So it drenches the sacrifice. It drenches the wood. It drenches the altar. It fills the trench. It's as if Elijah is saying, folks, you need to know that what's about to happen right here today can only be explained by the power of God. That's why I did this. That's why there is water everywhere. Now, I want us to just stop for a moment and see the faith of Elijah. That's faith. Drenching this. I mean, these guys called on Baal to bring fire all day long. It didn't happen. Now, I haven't called on God yet, but before I call on him, I'm just going to soak everything. I want you folks in Israel to know who the true and the living God is. The flooding of the altar is not going to stop the true and the living God. Number two, first number one, we had Elijah's preparation. Now we have Elijah's petition in verses 36 and 37. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, now he prays. Notice the prayer. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. That's the prayer. The Baal worshipers, they've been praying all day, all morning, all afternoon. Elijah, not real long. Elijah prays that God would burn the wet wood and the sacrifice. The prophets of Baal, they've been hurting themselves. They've been doing all kinds of screaming and hollering and praying and dancing and jumping around. And now Elijah prays. Anybody have a second hand on your watch out there? All right. I want you all to watch your little watch. And I'm going to read the prayer again. And we want to see how long this prayer is. All right. Here we go. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God that hath turned their hearts back again. 20 seconds. 20-second prayer. All right. Well, we learn here that prayer is about praying to the right God. Praying to the right God. And it's also praying to the right God with sincerity. Prayer is not about home field advantage. All right. God is not bound to some place. This was Baal's home court. And Elijah planned that. God is not bound to a place. Baal's prophets are babbling all day long. There's no fire, no fire, no eating up of that sacrifice. Elijah prays for 20 seconds and fire fell from heaven. We don't need all day to get answers, do we? We really don't. We don't have to have all day. The prophets of Baal tried to manipulate their God with all the things that they were doing. First they chant and they call and they pray and then we dance around and then we cut ourselves and gouge ourselves and our blood's running all over the place. And it just wonders me that at the end of the day when they got, when Elijah had them all killed, I wonder if some of those were like happy that was going to happen. They cut themselves so bad. Well, our God responded to humble, heartfelt prayer. You know, the first time I ever heard this, I was standing on the porch in Ocean City, New Jersey, of Mr. Polcini's place, and we were talking about the Lord, and he said how his pastor had said on Sunday, you know, our pastor told us we ought to pray about everything. We ought to pray about everything. It doesn't matter how big, how small, pray about everything. All right, well, you all know I pray for everything. I pray for parking places at Walmart. And just last week, I was there two times. And I prayed about that because if I don't get a really good parking place, then I'll park way out there, because I don't want people banging my doors. Okay? All right, so rolling in, praying for a parking place. Guess what? Two times in a row, I got the closest spot to the door there was. And what I do is I cheat over close to that outer line. You know, I want to give myself space. Do you do that? You know, God answers little prayers. Don't be afraid to be praying about the little things. Pray about everything. All right, so Baal's prophets are babbling all day, and Elijah gets up to the plate, and he hits a home run in 20 seconds, and the prophets of Baal are just failures, and our God responds to humble, heartfelt prayer. You know, God hears the prayers of his children. When our hearts are right with him, he's going to hear really good. He hears exceptionally well when our hearts are right, and pray in sincere faith. Now, there's three things about Elijah's prayer life I want to get in here. We're going to get these again at the end, plus three more. At the very beginning of this, I said we're going to be looking at six ideas about prayer from the life of Elijah. So far in his life, we're seeing a few things. The first thing is that he had a relationship with the living God. He had a relationship with the living God. The second thing is he sought the glory of God. He sought the glory of God. And thirdly, he prayed for rebels to turn back to God. He said, God, I want these people to know that you are the true and the living God. These are all rebels there on that day. And the chief one, Ahab, was there as well. So let us pray. Let us here at Faith Chapel, let us pray for God to turn idol worshipers into Christ worshipers. And number three, Elijah's power and grace. A lot of P's here. Elijah's power and grace, verses 38 to 40. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, seeing is believing. And when they saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord Yahweh, he is the God. The Lord Yahweh, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Elijah's power and grace. So here we see how Elijah's God answers. Elijah's praise, and what happens? It's just, and that sacrifice and everything there was gone. I mean, it's like gone. You want to talk about nuclear explosion, talk about blowing things up. God did it right there. Down came the fire and consumed everything. And this is no problem for Elijah's God, and this is no problem for our God, because our God is a consuming fire, the Bible says. Our God is a consuming fire. Deuteronomy 4:24, Hebrews 12:29. Fire has fallen before in the history of Israel. It indicated God's acceptance of their worship and their sacrifice. Jeremiah 23:29. God proves to Israel that He alone answers prayer. We see God's grace here in inviting Israel, come back to me, come back to Yahweh, come back to the true and the living God after all these years of being rebels and worshiping Baal. God's display of power got a response from the people. And the response was they were down on the ground on their face. And they were acknowledging Yahweh is the God. Yahweh is the God. It is not Baal. It is Yahweh. And you know, when we truly get an awe of our God, we're going to get on our face before Him too. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been struck by the power and the awesomeness of God, and you just had to get on your knees? You just had to drop to the ground and acknowledge His power. I remember on 9/11, that's what I did. 9/11. It was at 01. 9/11, man, I was on my face before God. I was right here in this office, and my son called me on the phone. He said, something's happening in New York. And I beelined up to the parsonage and turned on that TV and saw what was going on. I was on my face before God. Only our God can handle things like that. There's no other way. You know, we cannot halt between two opinions. When we halt between two opinions, we're not going to get on our face before God. When we're going back and forth about things, we're not going to get on our face before God. He's not going to do it. And God's not going to accept our worship either. Do not halt between two opinions. Uncertainty never leads to intimacy. We're to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we are uncertain about things, we are not going to have an intimate relationship. It's like a husband and wife relationship. You know, if there's problems, you're not going to have a very intimate relationship. It's just not going to happen. Those problems have to be solved. They have to be done. They have to be gone. You have to be in a right relationship with your spouse to be able to have a real intimate relationship with that spouse. And so Israel, once again, after many times, gets it together. They got it together. And then Elijah orders the execution of the prophets of Baal. Israel was a theocracy. And Elijah's orders were from Deuteronomy 13:12-15. Idolaters were to be put to death with the sword. And that's exactly what happens here. 450 prophets of Baal were slain with the sword. That was some time as well. So here in these verses, we see two things about God. We see the severity of God, and we see the grace of God. Because God wouldn't allow idolatry to persist, Messiah Jesus had to come. And when He came, He put to rest the sin problem with His own blood on the cross of Calvary and rose again from the grave. Now today, as church believers, we are called upon to put to death the idolatry that's in our hearts. We are not to waver between two opinions. Romans 8:13 says that we are to put to death the deeds of the body, i.e. we're to put to death success. We are to put to death pleasure. We are to put to death peer approval. We are to put to death the things of the flesh. Our counterfeit gods will never, ever bring satisfaction, and they surely are not going to get our prayers answered before a holy God. True and vibrant worship is possible because not just here was there a showdown, but there was a day coming when there was going to be an even bigger showdown between Jesus Christ and the death and sin and the flesh, and Jesus won it. And he rose again from the grave. Jesus is the ultimate prophet, mediator, king, victor. He is the ultimate God. He's the only God, the one true God. He has shown us who the real God is. He showed Israel on that day who the real God is. One greater than Elijah has come. Number four, we see God's provision and grace. Provision and grace, verses 41 to 46. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat, and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go up again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Spent the afternoon over in Lebanon yesterday with my parents, and along about 4:30, the skies started to go from sunshine to a little gray and then dark, and my dad said, maybe we ought to go get a pizza, so I did that real fast. Ran out the door, ran to A&M, came back, got in the house right as it began to drizzle, and then it just let loose. And we heard some good cracks. Love storms, you know. My dad said, man, I wish that would just happen when I go to bed at night. I love to hear that while I'm trying to go to sleep. Love to hear the storm when I'm trying to go to sleep. Well, these folks here haven't seen rain, haven't heard thunder, haven't seen the lightning in 3 years. 3 years. Can you imagine? How about the lawn out front here? 3 years, no rain. What lawn? What lawn? Well, the abundance of rain, it's coming. So tell Ahab, get something to eat, buddy. The drought is coming to a close. Go get something to eat, get something to drink. And Elijah gets back up. See, he's come down. He was using the sword. I guess he might have probably was right-handed. I don't know. Anyway, I'm left. I like left hands. He just slew them all. And now he goes back up to Carmel. And isn't that amazing? You go down in the valley, and you kill 450 prophets, and you get back up on the hill and start to pray. What a day. What a day. You know, talk about a great day. Kaboom, fire comes down, blows this thing up, got rid of all the prophets of Baal. Now he's back up to praying again. So he gets on his face, and he's praying for rain. Now, what is he doing? Elijah gets back up to Carmel, and he's going to pray according to the promises and the will of God. We need to remember that. So Elijah heard the sound of rain. But still, he went back to Carmel and he prayed until the rain came. All right, we see two kinds of prayer going on here. The first one is, he prays for 20 seconds and the fire falls. Now he prays, the rain required persistent prayer. Ahab, throw down that biscuit, get in the chariot, man, we got to go. It is going to rain. Let's go, let's get with it. And then what happens? Elijah humbly runs for 17 miles. And he's ahead of the chariot. Why did he do this? It was an indication that he was getting humble and that he was willing to serve the king if he was willing to have reform. If he was willing to get back to God, you know, we can work together on this thing. Let's do that. Let's do that. Well, we all know the end of the story. He doesn't do that. Ahab is not going to do it. God has given Ahab an opportunity to get back with God's program, and sadly, he will not. So we come to the end of our story, and we see Elijah's six-point plan for prayer. We've given three. Have a relationship with the living God, number one. Number two, seek the glory of God. Number three, pray for rebels to return to God. Number four, get alone with God. Get alone with God. Is that what Elijah did here at the end of the story? That's what he did. He got alone with God. He knew that God promised the rain was coming. But he still went and spent time alone in prayer with God. Number five, pray with the promises of God. Pray with the promises of God. You know, when we pray, it's a good thing to rehearse his promises. Now, he knows what they are. He wrote them. But you know what? We need to say them. Let him know we know what his promises are. Repeat them back to him. And number six, keep on asking to receive from God. Keep on asking to receive from God. I'm sure you've heard lots of stories about that. People who have prayed for years, people who have prayed for decades, and they would not quit. And one day, God answers the prayer. Now, this great big story that we looked at for 46 verses. The story we've looked at for 46 verses. This story should encourage our hearts. The story of Elijah should encourage our souls. God answers prayer. The problem we have is tomorrow we start to doubt again. We start to wonder again. That's a wall that has to be knocked down. That's a wall that has to go. That's a dilemma that needs to be dealt with. If you're dealing with that, that needs to be dealt with. We have to get up every morning knowing that our God answers prayer and he will answer prayer, and we should have confidence in him that he's going to answer prayer. We've looked at things tonight in testimony time to that end. Let's not fail to get with God's program of prayer. Spend that quiet time with God. Get alone with God. What we need to do here at Faith Chapel is we need to be an Elijah, not an Ahab. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for this great story from thy word. True story, true account. The great prophet Elijah, who had incredible faith. Incredible faith. Father, tonight, as we sit here and have rehearsed this wonderful account from Scripture. Father, may you give us the faith of Elijah. He had no doubts. There were no doubts. Lord, may we be able to walk that way, live that way, pray that way. But again, we can't do it ourselves. We need help. We need your help. And so, Lord, as we trust and as we have confidence in you, we ask you, Lord, to give us that kind of faith, the faith to believe in the power of our prayer-answering God. Please give it to all of us here tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.